Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, are you a fan of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, or Atlanta, or New Jersey, or any Bravo shows in general? If you thought yes, and even if you thought no, I haven't seen any of those shows. Well, Bitch Sesh, A Real Housewives Breakdown, is still the show for you.
Every week, hilarious hosts Casey Wilson and Danielle Schneider dish on the season's wildest moments, answer all your burning housewives questions, drink housewives-branded wine, and bring on some super special guests like Lauren Lapkus, Adam Pally, June Diane Raphael, and more.
Seriously, even if you're not a Housewives fan, this show will still become one of your favorites.
Listen to Bitch Sesh every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, on with the show.
Matt and James Bonding Podcast.
Myra Gourley,
James Bonding Podcast. It's the 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 James Bonding Podcast with Matthews, Myra, and Gourley. Matthews, Gourley, and Myra.
Hey, everybody, welcome to James Bonding. I'm Matt.
And I'm Matt.
Oh, you're a sultry low, Matt. What's happening over there, Matt Gourley?
Matt, Myra, I did something I almost never do, and that is go out late last night and tie one on.
Do you have a count on how many drinks you may have had?
Oh, only three, I think.
But hang on. You had three drinks at how many bars?
Two.
You're wild.
But I had a wine, a beer, and a cocktail.
Oh, you mixed.
Triple threat. Yeah.
Bet.
Yeah. A real James Bond last night. I was a real James Bond.
If James Bond was
a lightweight
who never goes out late.
Yeah. And I don't remember the last time I've been up till 2 a.m. I mean, I'm usually in bed fairly early, so my thanks to my partner Matt here today when the time kept getting pushed back in the morning, and here we are at 11 a.m. That's the first thing I'm doing.
I texted at 9 being like, I hope he's not upset, but it'd be kind of cool if we started a little bit later, and then I didn't even hear from you at all.
I know, I didn't even know it texted. That never happens to me.
9:30, and then you were like, yeah, 10 works, I just woke up.
Well, the silver lining is that you and everyone else gets this sultry voice.
It's deeper than I've ever imagined.
Sam Witwicky, I am Optimus Prime.
Your planet is under control.
How are you? How's New York, Matt?
Oh, Matt, let me just take a look outside. Yep, it's the same.
Okay. Asked and answered.
Weather's not terrible. I think it's supposed to get up to 50 very
Ooh,
shortly.
Wow. You going to maybe hit Central Park for that self-romance carriage ride?
Well, you know, my problem right now is I stay below Houston, so it's such a trek to get up there.
Well, make that part of your self-romance. Maybe, I don't know, just a little, get it like a baguette and a coffee as you walk along the streets of New York in a beret.
Hoof it up to 60th. I could do it. I certainly have the stamina to make a walk last that long. I've done it before.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe when we wrap up here, I'll hit Central Park at night.
Oh.
And ask for a carriage ride for a little self-romance.
That's beautiful.
James Bonding style.
Yeah. One second.
Oh, Matt's rolled away from his desk. He's now rolling towards the door, and he's talking to what I assume is Margot.
Well, someone's, I think, making some coffee, so that'll help all of us. But
good.
I was telling Amanda about, and if you guys listened to our last episode, we had quite a debate over whether the merits of self-romance, whether you should take yourself out on a date, the pinnacle of which being riding by yourself in a Venetian gondola like Bond does in Moonraker. And I think Amanda and Maria might want to handle something like that on a crossover episode of their podcast, The Big Ones.
You know, I think it's absolutely 100% worth having a discussion. I think we will together get to the bottom of whether or not self-romance is okay. And Matt's probably very confused as to why I got up and I'm no longer in front of the screen. It's because I've decided to try to turn on this Nespresso machine that's in my room.
Oh, you heard coffee being made. And
yeah, and I was like, that sounds fucking incredible.
Yeah, we'll have Kai. You know what? If you're listening right now, get yourself a nice coffee.
Cup.
Like, maybe this is a morning. Maybe you're on your commute to work. Maybe you're working from home or a cubicle. Get yourself some coffee. Pull through a Starbucks. Maybe get a... they don't make Valencia refreshers anymore, to my great sadness. But they do make strawberry refreshers with... Whoa, Matt.
Yeah.
Just vomited into the toilet.
No, I threw all my boxed water into the Nespresso machine.
Get yourself one of them off-the-menu pink drinks, coconut milk and strawberry refresher. It's delicious.
Oh, so you found a substitute.
Yeah, although I'm trying to not have quite as much sugar these days, so that's a rarity.
Well,
that's just,
you
a
know, as someone
treat.
Who's out partying till 2 in the morning on Friday nights, you got to watch your sugar intake.
That's right. I'm a real podcast socialite.
That's a delight, Matt. Yeah. Well, I think we should tell everybody what we're doing this episode.
They've probably read it in the title, but let's explain.
God, I always, you know, it's always a fun, weird thing when I'm always like, let's reveal our guest, and it's clearly already written in the title.
Maybe we should just stop revealing just say you got to listen every time.
Would that help or hurt? It would hurt.
It would be a lot of turnoffs in the first 5 minutes.
Probably. Yeah. Well, everyone out there, you already have read it, so I'm actually not even going to state what this episode's about.
But what we're doing is we're using the James Bond Wikia to go through the list of gadgets film by film, which will culminate in us picking our top five favorites. Some of them we're not going to spend much time on because this list is exhaustive.
What you're going to hear right now is Matt and I's favorite gadget out of every single movie.
That's right. We're not doing the top five. You're right. We're doing the... favorite of
but
each
but what you're gonna hear is our top 24.
Oh, I guess that's right. Yeah, and you can put them in whatever order you want,
whatever order you think we would want them in.
For instance, starting with Dr. No, here are the five listed gadgets. Now, they're not always the Q branch gadgets or just James Bond's gadgets. They're basically anything that qualifies as a gadget, though some and, more than
and
others.
You know what, this is a very loose list, Matt. Dr. No, 1962. It's the first time the world is introduced to James Bond on film, not on TV. And, well, they come out of the gate.
That's right.
A great gadget. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I think you're talking about the gadget to end all gadgets, even though it's not really a gadget, and that's the Walther PPK. It's probably James Bond's most synonymous gadget, right?
It's certainly in the most movies. He uses it throughout the series, minus the Brosnans and the Daniel Craig's.
That's right. He's forced to turn in his Beretta 418 for the Walther PPK. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want that thing. That's what's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I really like about the Walther PPK is just how ridiculous the story is of how James Bond ended up with the Walther PPK. Someone over Twitter this week, Matt, sent us a lovely picture of Boothroyd.
That was incredible, doing the James Bond gun barrel pose. It's
and,
amazing. He looks like his knee's about to give way.
He looks like it's all he could muster was to get that last button on that shirt done.
Hold on, I got to find that. That thing is incredible. Because if I remember correctly, he's also
and his
wearing...
mustache is incredible.
He's also, I think if I remember right, wearing a leg holster, but he has these really baggy pants, so it's kind of like... really blousing his pants. Oh, here it is. Yeah, he's just dressed in his regular old tweedy, day-to-day, stuffy British work attire. And he has like a six shooter rig on. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a leg holster that's strapped.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, as we all know, Jeffrey Boothroyd is a man who, quite frankly, knows all there is to know about how to quickly whip a gun out.
Yeah, if you're not familiar, he's the man that read Ian Fleming's book and wrote to him and said, this is the gun Bond should have. And Fleming actually took his advice, met with him, and he kind of became a bit of a consultant for Fleming on the weapons. And there's a little video on YouTube of Jeffrey Boothroyd talking in an interview about what he should use, and he's quite a character.
It's spectacular. He's my favorite. He is, honestly, of everyone involved in the James Bond mythos, he's my favorite person.
Yeah, he's quite a character.
I'm going to throw this out there right now. I know, Matt, I know there's a little bit of a backlog on t-shirt ideas here at the James Bonding podcast family, mm-hmm. but hear me out, mm-hmm. and you can tell me right now if we should just shut it down and not do this t-shirt. It's Boothroyd in that pose. We do the gun barrel around him, and it says Boothroyd, Jeffrey Boothroyd.
I would wear that daily. I would wear that daily. You also had everybody, the idea for a self-romance t-shirt, too, with Bond in the gondola.
It's just Roger Moore in the gondola, and it just says self-romance on it. And quite frankly, I think that's a great t-shirt idea.
Yeah, and we've seen the final designs for the knick-knack Tabasco shirts by Ibrahim Mustafa, and they're incredible. So you got a treat coming soon.
Buckle up, everybody. It's going to be a fantastic t-shirt.
The other gadgets on this list are radio transmitter. That's the one hidden behind the bookcase in the Jamaican station. Cyanide mm-hmm. cigarettes, Geiger counter, yes. and luminous Rolex wristwatch.
Yes, Matt. Now, here's my answer on this. Of these gadgets, Matt, your yeah. favorite is probably the Walther, right? I got to figure.
I think I probably have to choose that, but I have a real close runner-up.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? I got to go with the Rolex wristwatch.
Oh, I figured you would, yeah. My runner-up is the radio transmitter hidden in the bookcase because it makes me think I wish I would have done something like that here at the house, you know?
There's still time, my friend. There's still time to put up a facade of leather-back books.
That's true. I just love that it's integrated into home decoration. Coffee time.
Let me hit the coffee button over here. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you so much.
He's firing up the coffee machine, too.
Nespresso. Yeah. I'll see you in a little while.
Okay. This is our first coast-to-coast podcast, Matt.
It is?
We've done ads like this.
Oh, right.
But we've never done a full podcast coast-to-coast.
We should mix this one in stereo so I'm on the left and you're on the right, and it feels like they're being bookended by the coasts.
And I mean, it would also be representative of our politics. Woot woot, Trump train.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. You're a huge Trump fan, I forgot.
Oh, God.
Okay, so
if one person believes you, I've failed as a human being.
I know, no, they don't. Now, I'm surprised you chose this Rolex because you know you probably got a lot of Rolexes coming up.
Yeah, I sure do, man. And I don't want to spoil anything, but I might be choosing Rolex every single time.
Hold on, this is not even a gadget.
I know, it's just that he uses it to detect that there is radioactivity around.
I almost think that needs to be disqualified, but okay.
If you're going to DQ it, then I'm going to choose Geiger counter.
Oh, man. All right.
Because it's like cumbersome. It's cumbersome, ridiculous, not really a gadget. It is just what it is.
It's just a machine.
It's a machine. It's not like it's a Geiger counter hidden in a shoe or whatever.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
I think as we list these, let's move on to From Russia with Love, but we should disqualify a couple ahead of time before we pick if there's
Beautiful.
Something like that. Okay.
I
so
love it.
From Russia with Love, why don't you take us through those, Matt?
Yeah, it's the Garrett or Grot wristwatch that Red uses to strangle not James Bond. Spoiler alert. The pager that goes off in James Bond's beautiful sports jacket that is hanging over by his Bentley that lets him know he's got a phone call. An attaché briefcase. Now, of course, we all remember this briefcase. It's so many gadgets in one. There's throwing knives, gold doubloons. There's talcum powder that will knock people out. There's a cyanide capsule.
Sniper rifle.
A sniper rifle, too. Man, how could I forget a sniper rifle? That attaché case has everything going for it.
It's going to be tough to beat that one.
Then, of course, we have the bug detector, which James Bond uses to sweep the hotel room. Mm-hmm. And then he says, no, no, this room won't do. Tape recorder camera, which is actually a small reel-to-reel camera that Bond uses to interrogate Tatiana. And of course, the dagger shoes worn by Rosa Klebb.
And
I'm not entirely sure how she activates them. Have you figured that out yet?
Doesn't she kind of... She has to
what
click
does she do?
The side of, I think she has to click the side of the one with the dagger with her other boot, which seems like it could happen accidentally too
constantly.
Much.
I feel like she's walking down the street, all of a sudden dagger pops out.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't call disqualification on any of these. These are all legitimate spy gadgets. One of them's maybe a doctor gadget, the pager, but...
Well, my question to you is, do we disqualify gadgets used by villains?
No,
we keep it in? Okay.
I think so, yeah. But this is really just a rundown between the briefcase and the shoe daggers, because those are classic Bond gadgets, and I love the shoe dagger, but I think I got to go with the briefcase, because there is no more quintessential a Bond gadget than that briefcase.
Well, it was quite a toy, and it was made in the 60s. They made this attaché case, and quite frankly, I'm surprised that neither of us have ever bought one off of the Electronic Bay.
I know. They're probably really expensive.
They're not, like, obscenely expensive. I've looked them up.
Oh.
So, here's the deal. I want to give an honorable mention in this From Russia With Love to the pager. Because it's...
Thank you for finally giving the pager From Rush With Love its due.
It's this ridiculous.
This is a nice moment.
It lights up and it beeps. So that's two things, all right? So it's a double working pager there. It doesn't tell him who's calling, only that it's MI6. That's all he knows.
Mm.
And he calls MI6 back on his car phone and his Bentley, which is great. But yes, of course, Matt, the attaché briefcase
is the
one. Now... Here we're coming on to the movie that really took gadgets to the level that we're all familiar with, and that is bananas.
Yeah, that's right. So for Goldfinger, there's a lot here. We've got the fake duck on top of the wetsuit head. We've got the gas parking meter in the Q lab that shoots gas out. The homing beacon that he hides in his shoe. Right, and the heel compartment, of the boot. No, those go hand in hand. We can disqualify heel compartment. Oddjob's hat,
yes. Oddjob's hat was referenced on last week's episode of After Trek. Jonathan Frakes brought it up.
Oh,
yeah. Commander Riker knows his Bond.
Oh. We've got the industrial laser and the Delta 9 nerve gas and the atomic bomb, which I think, again, are just three machines, really. These don't strike me much as gadgets, so...
Yeah.
But noticeably absent here, what are they thinking?
The Aston Martin?
Right. If you could have an atomic bomb as a gadget, how is the Aston Martin...
You know, because it's a subcategory, Matt, and I
think
it's
full of gadgets
is vehicles.
Right, but it's not itself a gadget because it's full of gadgets. Oh, man, I never
But the attaché case is full of gadgets.
Yeah.
Although I guess it's just full of talcum powder and a sniper rifle.
Okay, well, honorable mention to the Aston Martin.
Honorable mention to the greatest gadget in the history of Bond.
Right. What are you going to go with here?
Well, Matt, there is a lot to choose from. And quite frankly, I enjoy all of them. There have been Master Replica... made a homing beacon set that you could have taken home for $800.
I thought you were going to say the fake duck. I would have bought that.
Oh, well, you know, it's funny you mentioned the fake duck because that is my favorite gadget from Goldfinger, the wetsuit and the fake duck, and I'm counting underneath it the tuxedo.
Mine too. I was going to choose that as well, because also it's completely useless. It doesn't do anything. There's no need to have that duck on his head. He could just be underwater. Because he still peaks up.
What about when he's surfacing?
That's just it.
It buys him a little time.
No, it would be more noticeable if a duck just suddenly rose out of the water with a head under it than just two eyes peeking up.
I would just think, oh, that duck is starting to fly, and take no note of it.
Right, I would too, but then why is it slowly hovering 9 inches above the water, and who's that man?
If you had to... Have you ever done scuba diving? Have you ever scuba dived?
No.
Well, if you had the option of, say, scuba diving, and you were given helmet choices, mm-hmm. and one of them had a duck on top, are you telling me you wouldn't?
No, I'm in. I'm just saying. It's a style over substance here, but I love it.
It's time for our well, I don't know if it is officially our least favorite movie, but it's...
No. And I think it may be this. There's a bit of a myth even in our own perception of this. I'm curious for us to watch this again. I don't think we're going to dislike Thunderball as much as you might think.
Well, it's dull, but it's packed with gadgets, man.
That's true. It's the longest list so far.
Yeah, we've got the jetpack at the beginning, which is technically called the Bell Rocket Belt.
Belt?
Yeah. Wow. Largo's remote control. That was for the conference room. I'm not counting that. The electric chair at the conference table. I will count that. Geiger counter wristwatch. Now, see what they've done here, Matt, is they've taken the Geiger counter and actually made it a gadget.
Right.
Underwater camera. Not a gadget. Miniature flare gun. It's just a flare gun. It's small.
Yeah.
Miniature rebreather. Gadget.
Mm-hmm,
radioactive homing pill. That is to swallow and hopefully not poop out before they need to track Bond. And the underwater propulsion unit, which is essentially an underwater jetpack. And of course, I'm not counting this either because it is literally a book that is hollowed out with a reel-to-reel tape recorder hidden in it.
That's like a homemade gadget. Yeah.
All right, he's counting it.
It's covert.
Allow it.
But really, it doesn't matter because everything's down to the rebreather or the rocket pack. And I'm going to go rebreather. I love that. It's something that's been reused not only in James Bond, but also adopted in the Star Wars universe and Phantom Menace.
Well, as we all know, it is handed out by the Jedi Council. once you're given the second your Padawan braid can be tied, they hand you a rebreather.
And then, as soon as your Padawan brain is tied, you head over to Q Branch there at the Jedi Council, and Yaddle, the female Yoda, sets you up with a rebreather.
Yeah. Yaddle's there with all your gadgets. Do you think they have like a? Do you think there's a like class on how to build your lightsaber?
No, but I think there's like a Build-A-Bear store. But it's for lightsabers.
Well, there is.
Oh, that's right. There is
Disney World.
That's why I thought about that. That's right. Yeah.
But I do wonder, mythology-wise, if they do, like, how long is that unit? Like, how long of a unit do I have to take on lightsaber building? Follow-up to that. You know, the children, the tiny babies that have lightsabers in the prequels, they have very small lightsabers, right?
Yeah.
Almost Yoda-sized lightsabers. And my question is, do they have, like, a set of those that they give to these kids? And then they're like, okay, guys, Jedi class dismissed, turn in your lightsabers, and then they go and do studying?
I don't know. Or do you get those handed down? Like, if there's a family with a lot of kid Jedis where, you know, like the oldest one gets a new little baby lightsaber, but then the second born has a hand-me-down lightsaber as the other one grows into a full size.
Here's the other question I have, and I don't know, you know, I'm not super up to date on the Legends mythology. Rather, I'm not talking about canon mythology right now, but is Jedidom often hereditary? I.e.,
well,
Because they can't, these Jedis don't make babies. Because they're not supposed
true.
To be married.
I don't think so. And I think if anything, the last movie, The Last Jedi, is basically saying that's not really the case.
Right. Anyone. It seems like the Force decides.
I think that's right.
Well, listen, man, I think we just solved a lot of problems right now that I was having.
In another universe.
I think it's fair to say that both of our favorite gadget from Thunderball is the rebreather that is used, of course, on the underwater scenes in Naboo.
Moving on to Only Live Twice, we've got another underwater breathing apparatus, but that's just literally breathing gear for when he's in the coffin for the funeral. The safe cracker gadget that he puts on the safe that... Now, I like that, but I think there's a better one later on. Lipstick gas grenade that Helga Brandt uses in the airplane. They're counting here the piranha pool, but I think it's... I'd say more it's the collapsing bridge than the piranha pool.
By the way, I think that the piranha pool is illustrative of why that design's advantageous, having a bridge over some sort of deadly pool scenario over the Moonraker scenario where you have to stand on a very specific hidden rock.
That's right. We've got explosive bullets, tigers, ninjas have.
Oh,
the bow staff with retractable spear that the Spectre assassin tries to kill Bond with. And the shooting cigarette. Now, I was thinking these are slim pickings until we got to that shooting cigarette. That's mine right there. That's the one.
Also, I want to point out once again, Little Nelly not on the list.
Right. Yeah, it's no vehicle.
Because it's a vehicle situation. Well, Matt, I got to say, of everything here, you're absolutely right. Once again, it's the shooting cigarette.
Yeah.
Because it's
because
jet
of
powered.
The wonderful things he does. Oh, it is.
Jet powered.
Is it?
What a ridiculous thing.
It is?
Yeah. The Tiger gives Bond a cigarette capable of shooting a jet powered projectile accurately up to 30 yards.
Jet powered? There's no way. They must mean like rocket or propulsion.
No. They say jet powered, remember?
So it has a tiny little jet turbine engine in there?
Yeah, it's a little tiny turbine engine, like that big.
James Bond Wikia, I think you need to update your source.
No, but that's what they say.
Really? In the movie,
yes.
They say that? Wow,
yes.
I apologize, James Bond Wikia.
Matt, we'll have you back.
Yeah.
Now it's time for a movie we did pretty recently on Her Majesty's Secret Service, Matt.
Yeah.
We've got Radioactive Lint, Jan, a giant safe cracker. This is not one that fits in the pocket.
And a copy machine.
That's true. A camera that James Bond uses to take pictures of a map. And, of course, Blofeld's gifts, which are each ways to activate his sleeper agent biological weapon ladies.
This one's slim pickings.
It is slim pickings, but it does have the multi-purpose safe cracker.
That made me jump ahead to Quantum of Solace, and I'm wondering, like...
Oh, the slimmest pickings is Spectre.
Oh, really?
One gadget.
Oh, there isn't. It says there are no gadgets besides the Explosion Omega watch. Well, so that's a gadget. Why does it say that? There's not even a picture of it here.
Yeah, why don't they have the watch? That's a great question.
Someone's updated it. All right, well, we'll get to that. We all know what we're picking for Spectre.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler. That's our finale. That's our grand finale. You've ruined it.
Well, I got to go with the safe cracker here because I love that it's a two-in-one or all-in-one. You know, when you look to buy a printer these days, you want it to fax, scan, and copy. And this does all that and more. It opens up Gumball's lawyer's safe while you sit by looking at a Playboy centerfold.
Here's my question, though. Do you want a safe cracker that's okay at safe cracking and okay at copying, or do you want a really good copier and... a really good safe cracker. You want to split those up.
That's
if you
right.
ask me.
And oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, why? That's funny. Why didn't you choose the safe cracker from You Only Live Twice then?
Well, because I'm choosing this one.
Okay. Right.
Because otherwise, my choices are lint and a camera.
Yeah.
Oh, and Blofeld's radio transmitter inside of a hairbrush.
So this is a pre-inkjet days, I presume. So this is probably a toner-based copier here, which means could be messy. You probably have a lot of service calls. It's cumbersome, but still, I like the design of it, and I love the safe-cracking element.
Do you think QBranch gets madder about you using too much toner than they do about you blowing up their Aston Martins?
Probably, yeah.
Do you realize how much this toner costs?
Or people, you know, people come in, the 00s come in and take printer paper and toner without
signing it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Do you think that in the Jedi Temple, there's a photocopier?
No, because they never seem to use paper. So it's I'm sure it's some little holographic orb compact
the Jedi,
that you carry around.
The Jedi Library is pretty impressive in the prequels.
Yeah.
You know? And, of course, essentially it boils down to what we discover in The Last Jedi, which is that library was actually just thousands of copies of those six books on Luke's shelf.
That's right. Yeah. Translated into different languages.
I like to slowly sneak in Star Wars into this podcast.
I don't mind it. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience, one night at a time.
With three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry.
Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night.
And it's delivered right to your door in a small, how the hell did they do that size box with free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada.
But the best part is you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial.
After all, you spend one-third of your life sleeping, so quite frankly, you should be comfortable.
I can confirm that. My wife and I sleep on a Casper mattress. It comes in a convenient refrigerator-sized box, and you watch it unfold itself and put it in your bed and sleep on it peacefully.
I gotta tell
every
you, Matt,
night. Yes,
you must receive tiny fridges all the time because
I do. That's all I do.
Every Casper I've seen is smaller than a fridge box,
a mini fridge box.
There we go.
But Matt,
it really is remarkable.
Anytime you and I are not recording a podcast, I'm on Amazon buying mini fridges.
That's true. You do have those fun mini fridges that say Coca-Cola on them and the 50s.
Well, I like to keep it cool, and I like to be cool in my Casper mattress. It's comfortable, and I love that one of us can move, and the other one won't know it.
Dory and I slept on a Casper mattress. We do every time we go to visit her brother, and quite frankly, it was the best thing we ever got them. It's a very comfortable mattress.
Get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/bonding and using bonding at checkout.
That's casper.com/bonding. Offer code bonding for $50 off your mattress purchase.
Terms and conditions apply.
We both said it because it's very important. Want more hot tips on how to achieve your showbiz dreams? Why not get it from the experts?
Introducing Hollywood Handbook Pro Version, featuring exclusive mini episodes that can only be found on Stitcher Premium.
That's right. You can now get even more Hollywood Handbook with Stitcher Premium.
Listen along as they do everything from teaser freezers to listener call-ins and even upgrades on Chef Kevin's Tinder profile.
Hollywood Handbook Pro Version, releasing every week starting Wednesday, January 31st, only on Stitcher Premium.
For a free month of Stitcher Premium, go to stitcherpremium.com/handbook and use promo code BOND.
You could also get a very special episode of James Bonding on Stitcher Premium. Please use the promo code BOND.
Oh, yeah. Matt,
diamonds are forever.
That's right. We've got the pocket snap trap right in the opening.
Is this great.
The first real gadget for gadget's sakes, the reverse engineered gadget? It might be.
Oh, that does nothing but what needs to happen in the script?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to give it some props for that. You've also got a classic, the fake fingerprint.
Yeah.
The voice algorithm recorder.
Willard White speaking.
Turn anybody into Jimmy Dean. That's just the default mode. The grappling suspenders and piton pistol for climbing up to Willard White's penthouse.
Amazing.
La Bombe surprise.
on the cruise at the end from Mr. Kid and the slot machine ring slash joy buzzer that Q uses to rig the slot machines there in Circus Circus.
Yeah.
What are you going with, Matt?
Well, you know, I like to look at these gadgets and I like to say, what can I use in my everyday life? And the answer to that, of course, is the slot machine ring.
Oh, right. Yeah, that does make sense for you. You go to Vegas. You love Vegas. You're going to
be kidding me? If I could, every time I hit max bet, it's going to win. I mean, although maybe that takes the joy of it away.
Yeah, although I've never really found any joy in slot machines.
Well, that's because you've yet to play a James Bond-themed slot machine, Matt.
That's true. I can't wait. But I'm going to use the same philosophy there and say, what can I use in life? What's most going to come in handy for me? And that's going to be the pocket snap trap. I think if you're going to reverse engineer gadgets and use them in such a way, this is the way to do it. It's funny. It's unexpected. It's clever. It's so silly that he would walk around with that all day for that purpose. And also think about, it's kind of like a mousetrap in that this thing has to be set in some way apart to be able to be triggered and snapped down on the finger. So how bulky would that be in his pocket?
And also, how do you get it into the pocket without accidentally snapping it onto your own fingers?
And do you ever forget and use it on yourself?
Oh my goodness.
I know.
But like, I mean, it's like a triple, like it's really... It's a very useful gadget in the sense that, like, if you're, let's say, walking the streets somewhere and someone wants to pickpocket you.
Yes, that's true.
That's good.
I know.
It's also good for looking to see if a henchman in a helmet wants to take your gun out.
This is like don't they have court cases of people that have, like, booby-trapped their front doors with automatic firing shotguns? Like, what if you mugged someone and you got that hand snap trap on you? Do you think you could, like, sue them for some kind of aggravated assault or premeditated assault or something?
Well, any of our lawyer listeners out there, please don't write us.
No.
Now, of course, Matt, we're getting into... We're finally into a Roger Moore film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Live and Let Die, which has a lot going for it, I gotta tell you.
It really does, yeah.
Let's start with the magnetic buzzsaw Rolex Submariner.
Mm-hmm.
The bug detector again, which of course can also transmit Morse code this time. That's how they've improved it over the last one.
That's right.
The CO2 pistol.
The shark gun.
Yeah. Fires the shark pellet that blows humans and sharks up alike.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently is full, not of CO2, but of helium. Only way to get someone to float. The cigarette lighter radio that's in the Cadillac side view mirror dart gun.
The genuine Felix lighter.
A genuine Felix lighter.
The side view mirror dart gun's pretty good.
It is. I also like how much effort it takes to aim it. Like, there's, like, you got to match up the things. And
right.
Like, okay. Beep. Transmitter that's in a hairbrush, which I believe he just took from Blofeld. Flute transmitter. Everyone's favorite flute transmitter. Flamethrower spray can. Disagree on that being a gadget. I think it's actually just a spray can that he lights.
Yeah, he's... That's
and...
It.
Of course, something I just used in my hotel room, an espresso machine.
That's listed here. It is.
It sure is.
Oh, this is a tough one for me.
Well, there's a lot happening. I mean, the most contentious debate we've ever had on this podcast revolves around one of these gadgets.
Yeah.
The genuine Felix lighter gets a crack happens with that. That's a hoot. The espresso machine gives us joy from M's is that all it does situation.
Right.
That's fun.
I mean, the most legitimate gadget here is obviously the watch, because it's a buzzsaw. It's got heavy magnetism that he uses. So it's down to
you don't mean
the espresso
machine. You don't mean like the one that would legitimately work. You just mean the one that qualifies best as a gadget.
Yeah, the most useful and iconic of the Bond gadgets. But
I can't believe
you've
so quickly... You've so quickly dismissed the CO2 bullet.
Well, I think it's so dumb.
I understand, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to have to go with the Rolex Submariner that is a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
And a magnet.
Then
as unpractical as it might be, and how, you know, I believe I've spoken ill of this watch before. But given everything else we have here, although, you know what? Dark Horse Candidate has just stormed and taken the lead of the buzzsaw watch, Matt. Side view mirrored dart gun. I could use that.
Oh, good. I'm glad that got represented. That's good. Then now I feel like I got to take the watch, because I was going to do espresso machine, just because I do love that they kind of throw you with that, because that was apparently such a novel thing. That, but espresso had certainly been around a long time, but I guess a home espresso machine, I don't know.
Well, I mean, especially a machine of that, you know what it's like if you want to get one of these restaurant quality espresso machines. It's like $3,000 to $8,000 or something.
All right, I'll go with the watch. And really, I just want to get to the man with the golden gun, because that is a no contest gadget for me.
Well, we are there right now, Matt. It's the man with the golden gun.
Speaking of that golden gun, that is a gadget. You've got the golden bullet. I don't know about that as a gadget.
I really thought you were leading in through into a Walther PPK break.
Oh, no.
Speaking of golden guns, I got to...
The Solex Agitator, and the finally... To me, no contest. The prosthetic nipple.
The description on the James Bond Wikia, Bond confesses that it's a bit kinky, but he gets Q to create a false third nipple so that Bond can impersonate Scaramanga. Ridiculous. So you have chosen the prosthetic nipple.
It chose me. I mean, come on, that's too good.
You know what? I have to say, for me... It's the golden gun. One shot and you're dead in GoldenEye 64.
Oh, right.
It's a powerful weapon. Much like the Moonraker laser, it is a powerful, powerful weapon.
I wish you could choose the third nipple in GoldenEye 64.
How would you use that as a weapon? It's just so kinky?
Yeah, it's so kinky it disarms people. They just don't know what to think. Like, they're stunned for 2 seconds while
and then it becomes a slap fight.
On them. Yeah.
All right, Matt, it's The Spy Who Loved Me, which has so many gadgets. Here we go. The wristwatch that has a teletype in it that prints out a message to Bond. The ski pole rifle, which is delightful. The microfilm reader that's in a cigarette case. The cigarettes that are poison. The guillotine tray is seen in this movie for the first time. The tea tray, the guillotine tea tray. Wet bike, which
what?
Is essentially...
It's called a wet bike?
Which essentially is the first jet ski anyone ever saw in their lives.
A wet bike.
And the table gun under Stromberg's dining table, which has the longest barrel in the world.
This is a tough one. None of these to me are standouts.
You're kidding right now, right? Because the guillotine tea tray was on the list.
I guess, but it's just so specific. Like, you have to have someone sitting at the end of a very specific bar that you really have to, like, lay in this, I don't know, electromagnetic infrastructure in there. And that's a lot of forethought.
So would you take guillotine, tea tray, or table gun if you need a weapon that will take someone out at the other end of a long table?
They are both very similar in that you have to have the person seated exactly where you need them.
Yeah.
But I think I'd take the gun because you're more likely to be able to shoot them, as opposed to, not only do you have to sit the T-tray victim in the right place, they have to be at the right height exactly.
Yeah.
So, but all that's moot. I think I'm going to go with the teletype wristwatch just because it spits out that old sticky teletype stuff that I used to love in grade school. Yeah. You had to turn the little wheel for every different letter.
Oh, boy. I had a lot of fun with that as a kid.
Yeah. What about you?
Labeled a lot of things, Matt. It's the guillotine tea tray.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll remember that next time I come over and you want me to sit somewhere very specifically.
Well, maybe don't think too much and just sit.
Okay. It's on to Moonraker. Oh, we got a lot here. We've got the wrist-mounted dart gun, classic. We just talked about that.
Yeah.
Another safe-cracking device.
This guy loves his safes.
Another camera, this one where the lens is in the second O of 007. We've got exploding bolas, a sleeping man, And that's the guy sleeping
hang
in a poncho.
Hang on, but he splits apart, and then there's a very large machine gun in it.
That's right. The Moonraker laser rifle that looks like a child's toy.
Mm-hmm.
The poison pen. The diary that shoots darts of Holly Goodhead. The perfume that is a miniature flamethrower. The purse transmitter. And the explosive wristwatch. That's where they bust out of the exhaust room, right? He's got like rolled up C4
yes.
in there.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely got to go with the wrist-mounted dart gun. I'm running out of wrist space because I think I've chosen two watches, three
you're
watches
so
at
much,
this point.
You have so much happening right now.
Yeah.
And, well, quite frankly, Matt, to no surprise to anyone here, I'm continuing the theme of the previous movie and taking the exploding bolas. Much like the guillotine tea tray, I'm taking people out of the neck.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, can ridiculous. You hear my dumb cat? Is making
Do you know what's funny
sense?
Is I thought to myself, oh, there must be a cat outside, not thinking that I'm on the fourth floor. Come here. One Matt second. Is approaching Margot. He's taking off his headphones. He's opening the door. He's talking to Margot. Margot's meowing. Amanda appears to be out there talking about Margot meowing. For those of you wondering, Matt has yet to actually get dressed. He's wearing sweatpants, a gray sweater, and I mean it's a great sweater. But sorry, I was talking to the listeners.
About what?
About what you were wearing. I was narrating everything.
I know, because
I was narrating.
When I got up and I'm like, oh, we got to get to work, and so I put on a nice cardigan sweater, but I'm also just wearing sweatpants.
Yeah, you're like a newscaster wearing jeans underneath the table.
But we couldn't figure out why Margo was freaking out, but we never wake up this late. It's her feeding time.
And oh.
Usually we like have all this time before she starts going insane.
That's so funny. You really did a number on yourselves last night.
Oh, we did.
I don't want to see you drinking three drinks ever again, sir.
You got it, Dad.
Matt, we're talking about For Your Eyes Only.
That's right.
We both have chosen great gadgets here. Wrist dart gun, exploding bolas. What more could you want from a film? It's For Your Eyes Only, guys. We're talking automatic targeting attack communicator, which is the ATAC, which is the thing that James Bond essentially goes looking for, if I remember mm-hmm. correctly.
Yeah.
The plaster cast, which, of course, you have to pretend to have a comically broken arm and then stand about 4 feet to the... No, wait. I would say that's a foot and a half to the right of the person you want to knock the head off of.
You also clearly have to be standing against a wall that the entire mechanism is hidden inside of, too.
Well, yes, of course. Yeah. They're trying to miniaturize it. They're working on that right now. And claw umbrella, which... I always thought was fairly ridiculous.
It is, because even in the execution of it, it doesn't really
appear to be damaging anything.
No, yeah.
The identograph machine, Matt. The identograph machine.
Love it.
And, of course, the communication wristwatch, which now is, I believe, Roger Moore's fourth consecutive Seiko.
Hmm. Well, I got to go with an identograph machine. I think you can have a lot of fun with that.
100% right.
Love that thing. You can.
You know what you could do, Matt?
What?
You could make your own version of the classic children's board game, Guess Who?
Oh, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Does he have glasses? No. Damn. Right. I flipped down everyone who has glasses. That's how you play Guess Who.
All right. On to Octopussy. We've got another
so
attaché briefcase, which contains a false bottom, which conceals high explosive bomb. This is in the
credit
sequence.
Great last name for a Bond girl.
What?
False bottom.
That is good.
I'm Melanie. Tiffany False Bottom.
Yeah.
There he is, Melanie.
A tracker wristwatch that can track the homing device planted in the Fabergé egg.
Sure.
Mont Blanc fountain pen with an 18-karat gold fountain pen, which contains a mixture of nitric and hydrochloric acids for dissolving metals. It also has the earpiece that works in conjunction with the bug planted in the egg.
You've got a TV wristwatch for looking at ladies' cleavages.
You've cleavages.
Got, oh, crocodile submersible, the submarine.
Sure.
The yo-yo saw.
Oh, it's a classic.
And, of course, the mini nuke.
The mini nuke.
Wow, this is a tough one.
This is a lot of great garbage.
I was going to say the pen because that's a classic. It's also a two-in-one. But I got to go with the crocodile submersible. That's just useful.
Well, Matt, I've got to go with what's probably the most identifiable weapon from a henchman since Odd Job.
Yeah.
It's the yo-yo saw.
That's right. And in your theme of cutting off people's heads and such, too, if you...
Well, listen, I'm just a spy who needs to get out of there.
That's right. We all are.
What faster way than that? Sure, a lightsaber would work, but they tend to cut off just the torso, these lightsabers.
Yeah.
That's seem right. to do that a lot. Although I guess Mace Windu does cut off Boba Fett's dad's head.
He does.
Although, wait, I guess that's not really Boba Fett's dad. It's just Boba Fett's exact genetic copy.
Yeah, it's his
right? Because
prime.
Because Boba Fett
is Jango Fett.
Jango Fett is a clone, and that clone is Boba Fett.
No, Boba Fett is a clone of Jango Fett, who is the master of all the clones. He's the prime.
I know, but I think if you listen back to my sentence, that's exactly what I said.
Is it?
I don't know.
No.
Guys, you can pre-order your Boothroyd, Jeffrey Boothroyd t-shirts somewhere eventually soon.
I will.
All right, it's A View to a Kill, everybody. It's a favorite of this podcast and a favorite of all the James Bond lovers, not experts.
That's right.
We've got a Zorin microchip.
Yeah, not a gadget. I mean, no, not a gadget.
I'm happy to say not a gadget. Yeah. Sunglasses that are polarized. What does that mean?
That is funny. I've never... like, obviously, it's not a technology that exists, but even in this world... It's like, how does changing your polarization of your sunglasses allow you to see through tinting? Maybe it would work. I don't know.
Well, you know, whenever you've gone to a museum of science, you can play with polarization, and that could work. But whatever. Camera yeah. ring, of course, that he has to hold that champagne glass up like a real jackass. The billfold checkbook that uses ultraviolet light to read what was last written on the checkbook. The electric shaver detector. Huh? That's a gadget, really. It's not a bug detector like the last thing. It's a bug detector that is also a razor, electric razor. Credit card lockpick. I should mention it's a sharper image credit card lockpick. And, of course, the snooper, which is everyone's favorite protocol droid.
This is a tough one. There's not any real standouts. You got the camera ring is the most classic, but I think I'm liking the credit card lockpick just because
Matt, you did it again. It's 100% yeah. correct.
Yeah.
Because just, it is a sharper image credit card.
I like that joke, and it's very of the time. Yeah.
I think if it was like a Visa card or an American Express card, I wouldn't be enjoying it as much. But the fact that it is a card that is so clearly of the 80s.
That's right.
It gets right. a big thumbs up from me.
On to the living daylights, Timothy Dalton's first foray into the Bond world. We've got the night vision goggles. Those were still probably seemingly pretty novel in movies at the time.
I mean, who could imagine now. That not 6 years later, there would be a theme park that would just issue these night vision goggles into their Ford Explorers that run on a track. It's amazing.
A favorite of mine, not only from this film, but of all Bond gadgets, the milk bottle grenades.
Sure.
The ghetto blaster, which is the rocket shooting
It's for the
stereo.
Americans.
Revolving sofa, one of the dumbest gadgets I've ever seen. I'm sorry, I don't mean to editorialize on these, but the keychain with the whistle and the explosion and the gas. You've got the miniature binoculars. What?
What?
And the silent alarm watch, a watch designed to alert the user's bodyguard by an audible beeping emitted by his counterpart watch. It's triggered by pressing. I don't remember this. Pushkin uses it. Oh, that's right, to signal his outside guard. What are you going to go with here, Matt?
Well, it's... it's got to be the milk bottle grenades.
Oh, no doubt.
Because they're so effective and no so doubt. Perfectly built yeah. and so... I mean, it's just I've never really, and unfortunately, oh. it's coming from someone who's not on the right side of history here.
That's all right. No, that is there is no choice. The only choice you have is do you go with the pint or the 4-quart milk bottle grenade?
Well, it depends on what kind of damage you need to do.
That's exactly right.
Now, if you ask me, I don't know why the parrot is not here.
The parrot.
M's parrot. All right, Matt. It's License to Kill time. Which is very gadgetful, if I remember correctly. Let's take a look here.
Yeah.
We have the Felix lighter once again, which is a lighter. Not really a gadget. It's literally a lighter.
Yeah.
Laser pull. I'm disqualifying it.
Yeah, I agree.
The Polaroid camera that fires a laser. The alarm clock that goes a boom. The Dentonite toothpaste that detonates. Cigarette packet that has a lot of lights in it, and I believe is actually used as the detonator cord. The signature rifle that is the first time we're seeing this. You grab it, and you're the only one who can use it because of your palm print. And of course, the radio transmitter inside of a rake.
You know, I never realized that that's basically just a variation of the flute transmitter from Live and Let Die because it works the same way. It separates, has a little speaker microphone there. Q's like really, you know, he's either repeating himself or is like, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
What do you give Q's hands in this?
That's right. He's in a bunch of these pictures.
There he's, I believe you're looking at him right now holding the Dentite, and quite frankly, Matt, that is a full-sized tube of toothpaste.
It makes it look like a travel-sized toothpaste.
It really does look like something that would be TSA compliant today.
Those are huge. But refer to the License to Kill episode for what size we give Q's hands. I can't remember. I think I'm going to go with the signature rifle. Because it's a camera and rifle in one.
I like it. I'm going to go with the cigarette packet.
Yeah.
Because they're Lark cigarettes.
Oh, are those real cigarettes?
I think that's just a pun. Or not a pun, but more of like a little wordplay.
Oh.
These cigarettes are a Lark.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe all right. It's a real brand, and people will tell us in the comments.
We'll find out. But for now, we're moving on to GoldenEye. We've got the Piton gun that he fires the grappling hook.
That looks a lot like Hans Blaster.
It does, yeah. The Limpet Mine. No, disqualified. That's a mine. It's. I mean, I guess it's kind of a gadget, but it's...
I mean, it's pretty gadgety because like, you knock it, you bomb, you blow it up with your wristwatch.
I guess, but the best gadgets are kind of dual use. They're disguised as something else, you know?
Mm.
Digital binoculars? No, disqualified. Wheelchair missile launcher? Now we're talking.
It's functional as a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And as a missile launcher.
Q loves fake casts.
Q is always looking for ways to hide deadly weapons on his people.
Or the size of his hands. The phone booth trap, which inflates with an airbag inside of it and traps somebody. The X-ray.
I feel like 2 years later, all the phone booths were starting to be removed from the world. Not a huge shelf life for the phone booth trap.
Well, that's okay, because the next movie, he's onto a cell phone gadget. So, the X-ray document scanner, that's the T-tray that scans the document. The cutter detonator wristwatch, built-in laser cutter and remote detonator. That's just a rehash. We've seen that.
Yeah.
Grappling belt, that's the size 34 leather belt. Conceals a piton hidden behind the buckle. Ballpoint pen grenade, and there's really no point going on because that's it.
The GoldenEye satellite is not a gadget to you.
That's
whatever.
Not a gadget. And it's the pen grenade. It has to be. It's featured very usefully in the plot. Classic.
Yeah, and there is a lot of suspense with that. And I would just like to give an honorable mention to the Omega Seamaster quartz model. Not the automatic model, guys. This was the battery-powered model that he wore in GoldenEye. Mm. A little cheaper.
Mm. Okay.
I am honored to now say the following gadgets from what is quite possibly the greatest movie ever made. It's Tomorrow Never Dies. A rousing performance given by Mr. Pierce Brosnan. And, of course, Michelle Yeoh now. Friend of the pod, thanks to my connection to her in Star Trek Discovery.
Nice.
The GPS encoder, not a gadget. It is literally just what it is. Cigarette lighter grenade, 100% a gadget. The Ericsson mobile phone that not only has a taser on it, but can control a BMW and has a fingerprint scanner and readout that makes it be your fingerprint, whatever. The grappling bracelet that Michelle Yeoh's character has. The dragon flamethrower that's in her thing. Her headquarters there. The restraint fan. Oh, that's the fan, right? That has all the... Those are the sound effects I make for things being shot out of a pan.
No picture of that one.
There is not. They probably couldn't find it. Rickshaw defense mechanism. The rickshaw that... I think she hits a button and a rickshaw flies at a guy. And an explosive wristwatch. That's the Omega Seamaster. And, of course, this is the first time he gets the Walther P99.
Not a gadget.
That is true. That is very true. Matt,
well,
you got to give it to something in this.
Yeah, it's got to be the mobile phone. It's the most useful. It does too much, honestly.
I knew you were going to say that, Matt, which is why I assumed you were going to pick the cigarette lighter grenade.
Is that what you're going with?
Well, it's what I'm going to have to go with because, quite frankly, it's amazing because he has a lighter, right? But then he hooks it up to something to blow up, and then he tricks a guy by pretending to have a lighter and then punches him in the face.
God, I don't even remember that.
Oh, I remember every second of this movie.
I've blocked a lot of this movie out.
Here's a movie we haven't watched yet, Matt.
That's right. We'll get to it soon enough. It's The World Is Not Enough, and the list of gadgets is as follows. The detonator spectacles remotely detonates an explosive flashbang charge concealed in Bond's firearm. Mm-hmm. The money bomb,
of
course, in the beginning of the movie. Bagpipe flamethrower, love it. X-ray shades.
Yeah.
Ski jacket, perhaps the worst reverse-engineered gadget in the whole franchise, for my money. The multi-function lockpick, the grappling torch wristwatch. Boy, you just realize how many watch gadgets there are when you do
I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah. And the torture chair, the garrote chair they're listing. I don't know about that.
You don't know. I mean, it is a chair, and it also is a torture device.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot in here, Matt, and I don't know. This movie, for me, while enjoyable, is not up there with the quality of, say, A Tomorrow Never Dies.
I actually somehow am looking forward to this movie. Isn't that weird?
Well, I think you're just trying to... You're a lot like Luke Skywalker, you know, where he's just trying to find the good in his father. Your father being Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. I thought you meant, like, I want to take this movie and toss it over my shoulder like a lightsaber.
Well, I'm going with multifunction lockpick because it is actually in a credit card.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
He pulls it back, and it whips out a key.
It's one of the rare ones that you think that could be used. That's like a real spy tool there.
Yeah. And it's multi-functioning too.
For me, I'm going with the bagpipe weapon. As silly as that sounds, I think that's actually pretty darn good.
I believe, if I remember correctly, Matt, the bagpipe, not only did it have a flamethrower, but it also had a machine gun.
Oh, right. That's like, you got to be careful when you're blowing into that thing.
What do you mean?
Well, you don't activate it right in your face.
Well, I think it's probably pretty easy to know which of the bagpipe things you're hitting.
I guess.
I assume.
Yeah, who knows?
Oh, no.
If you heard that sound, that's the sound of realizing the next film is Die Another Day.
All right, Matt, we have a surfboard that contains a sliding panel with a hidden compartment full of communications equipment, explosives, detonators, and a Walther P99. Of course, we have a transmitter knife that was also concealed in the surfboard that for some reason had to be a knife. There's the cell phone that Zhao uses to figure out that Bond is Bond.
That's the product placement gadget.
Yeah. Then we have
Sony Ericsson.
Virtual combat training simulator, which are sunglasses that turn a room into a holodeck. Then, of course, we have the Omega that has a laser cutter on it. Then we have the Sonic Digit Agitator, which is the ring that can destroy glass. And then they're listing the Dream Machine, which, as far as I know, is just a Dream Machine.
Yeah, it doesn't double as anything, but...
And then we have the rebreather.
There's slim pickings here. This is...
Well, Matt, also appearing in this film are the jetpack from Thunderball, the snorkel
right.
and false bird from Goldfinger, the Piton gun from Diamonds Are Forever, the jet from Octopussy.
Wait, now they're allowing that in, but not Little Nelly, huh?
The submarine disguised as a crocodile from Octopussy, and of course, Little Nelly, and the dagger shoe.
All right, I'm going to go on a loophole here and take the dagger toad shoe.
It's unbelievable. He did it, everybody. I'm going to go into my own loophole right here, and I'm taking the miniature rebreather.
Good, yeah. Good.
I've got
take
to
that I've, die another day. Your gadgets I've, aren't good enough.
I've got to swim with Obi-Wan to reach the Gungans.
That's right, you do. We have to go down to Odo Gunga and meet Boss Nass and Captain Tarples.
Have you had Boss Nass on? I was there too.
Oh, I wish. That's Brian Blessed. I would love to have him on.
I feel like I feel like you can get him on.
Oh, he's amazing. That is not a real human being, Boss Nass. Brian Blessed, like he's a cartoon. He's Hawkman from Flash Gordon.
He sure is.
Yeah.
He's he's a delightful.
Oh, I love him.
Person.
Misa thinking, we sa being friends.
What a race of underwater dwellers.
I know.
Just it's insanity.
It's time for Casino Royale, which more gadgets than you would think.
Agreed.
Explosive keychain.
Mm-hmm.
When is that used?
That's in the Miami scene.
That's
Miami
right.
Airport.
Yeah.
That's Davidoff's.
That's right. Plus the phone detonator that is used to detonate that explosive keychain.
Uh-huh.
The portable implant equipment. The bug and earpieces in Le Chiffre's Benzedrine inhaler. And the field medical kit in Bond's Aston Martin. I got to go with that. I like the whatever that defibrillator thing is and the EpiPens and all that such stuff.
Listen, I would watch a medical drama that was centered around the five people that were giving Bond medical advice at Q Branch.
I know. That would be great. Yeah.
So I agree with you, Matt. It's for me also, it is the medical kit found in the glove compartment.
God,
which,
what a great movie. What a great movie. I look at every one of these gadgets and I'm remembering the moment of the film and thinking that's a great moment of the film.
I felt like Bond a little bit last week when I had that panic attack and the paramedics came and they strapped a bunch of stuff to me.
What happened, by the way?
That was on Sunday.
Are you okay?
Of last week. I am physically exhausted and I need to take 3 days off and just shut down, but... instead, what I did was fly home to LA, work a full day, and then go record a podcast about Moonraker.
Oh, Matt, I'm worried about you. Listen, you got to put your health first here in all seriousness
So
we can figure this out, you know, if you need a break or whatever.
This is a great solution, what we're doing right now.
Okay, are you all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Guys, I was fine. I had a
I worry about you,
great crew of people, and I had a medical kit in my Aston Martin.
Okay, good.
It's Quantum of Solace, Matt, and there are only two gadgets listed here. We're talking about a modified Sony Ericsson C902 cell phone.
Barely modified. All it does is really do face recognition, right?
Sure. And, of course, the Quantum earpiece that is in the gift bag when you go to the opera.
I got to go with that because I would love a quantum gift bag. Who knows what other swag is in there? What do you think other swag is in there?
1 weekend at Blofeld's hollowed out meteorite lair.
You're right. Oh, man.
Probably spa treatment at the at the Venetian casino.
The latest iPod.
Oh, for sure. With quantum etched on the back?
Yep.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, and
by the way,
like,
I love that these secret
music.
I love that these super secret organizations all have logos
and branding. Yeah, full on branding. Like, they must have a graphics department.
Could I see those two images, please,
for approval? No, this is too busy.
No, I don't like the way. I want this. I want a nice swooshy cue.
Yeah, it must imply momentum. We're always moving forward. You know, it should feel progressive, forward moving. This is
think of quantum mechanics. Right. This is what I want to explain with the logo.
Give me the mouse. I'll do it.
Yeah, look. What is wrong with this thing? Is this always so slow?
All right.
Okay. That was
Skyfall.
It was a fun digression. All right, Matt. It's your turn to read.
The palm identifying Walther PPK / S. What is that? That's just like a more modern Walther PPK, huh?
I believe so, yeah.
The radio transmitter and the radio detonator. A radio detonator disguised as a police radio. Silva uses it. It's on his little chest rig there.
Well, it's in his it's his police vest.
Yeah, I think I got to go with the Walther PPK. It is, this one is a gadget because it's got the palm identification and it's used in a gadgety way. So I'm gonna go with that.
You know, it's funny about this gun. Bond never fires it. No one fires the gun. And it was 3D printed by the UK-based company Prop Shop. How do you feel about that?
What do you mean? How do you know that?
I just read it. I clicked through. Oh.
No one fires that gun?
No one fires it. He never fires it.
Oh. What did you know? Yeah. Wait, he doesn't have it when he's back in London at the courthouse?
No. He's got a regular one because he leaves it in the Sarlacc pit.
That's right.
Okay, everybody, it's time for the 24th installment in the James Bond franchise, and that, of course, is Spectre, where the only gadget is James Bond's 300 Seamaster, his Seamaster 300 meter.
The exploding.
Which is great. It's gorgeous, and quite frankly, I've been fortunate enough to have Daniel Craig's own Seamaster 300 on my wrist. When Daniel Craig himself said, "Here, try it out."
How did that feel? Was it warm?
It felt more. It made me feel like more of a man than I've ever felt in my life, and it lasted for as long as I had the watch on. So about 45 seconds.
Wow, that must have been nice.
It was great. I recommend everyone out there, if you meet Daniel Craig, ask him to try his watch on.
Matt, before we wrap this up, I'm going to ask you. Now that we've done this. All-time favorite gadget.
That's very hard.
I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, but I mean, practicality-wise, because I feel like we both approach this in a practical manner.
Uh-huh.
And I think, practicality-wise, it seems like the rebreather is the thing.
Interesting. Okay. I'm going to go with the attaché case. I think that's not only very practical, although not many people carry attaché cases these days, although that also, third tangent, makes me think I'd like to start carrying an attaché case. But it's
would you keep in it, man?
So many, well, all these things. It's got so many things. A sniper rifle, gold sovereigns, a dagger, talcum powder. You never know when you're going to use talcum powder.
Well, especially talcum powder that, if you don't open the case right, will knock you out.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I feel like if you're at TSA pre-check and they pull your bag and they're like, can we check this bag? You better make sure they're opening the latch correctly.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
What would you, if you started to bring back the attaché case just as a stylistic thing?
I've considered it.
Uh-huh. What do you think you'd do with it? What do you
I know exactly what I'd do with it. In fact, because I remember as a kid seeing these in movies and going, what do people put in a briefcase? And every time I asked my mom or my dad, they would always just say, papers.
That's the exact right answer.
I'm going to keep papers in there. Papers.
I've got all my papers.
Yeah. My papers are in order. Well,
everybody, I feel like you've all heard every gadget, and quite frankly, you are delighted, bored, or just plain excited about the Boothroyd, Jeffrey Boothroyd t-shirt that we'll be printing up eventually after the Knick-Knack Tabasco and Self-Romance shirts come out. Knick-Knack Tabasco's final designs are amazing. I think you're all going to love it.
That's right.
Ibrahim did a fucking, Jesus crushed it, man.
He did. He really did. Yeah, the shirt work here in this podcast is
top notch. Much better than the quality of our actual conversation.
I don't know. I think today was solid, and I think people are. If you're with us to the end right now, you're here because you're like us, and you need to discuss these things. And frankly, we're doing a great service to society.
If you liked our peppered in Star Wars discussions, please don't let us know.
Don't encourage us, is what he said.
Yeah, because then we'll just start doing it.
Next week, we've got The Man with the Golden Gun.
It's big time, Matt. It's a big time episode with a big time gadget and a big time villain, Christopher Lee, who, of course, played Count Dooku.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Speaking of people getting beheaded by lightsabers, Count Dooku gets a double beheading.
Yeah. What's his Darth name?
Darth Sidious. No, not Darth Sidious.
No, he's Darth Tyrannus.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Isn't he just Dr. Dooku?
He's not Dr. Dooku. He's Count Dooku.
Well, I'm going to look it up now. Count Dooku. I like his lightsaber because it's curved.
Yeah, it's a little phallic, though. It feels a little weird.
And let's see. Sith Lord. Jedi Master, Darth Tyrannus. You were correct, Matt.
That's right. Never doubt. Matt, I hope
you
have a good weekend out there in New York. Stay warm. Make sure to get in that that carriage ride. Make it happen. Send pictures.
Got to head out right now.
Okay.
Got to get out there while there's a little bit of daylight left.
Take care of yourself.
James Bonding will return
with The Man with the Golden Gun.
Podcast of James Bond. James Bonding Podcast. James Bonding Podcast. James Bonding Podcast. James Bonding Podcast. Matt and James Bonding Podcast.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the Improv Fantasy Podcast. Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. it. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.